And now to honor America, please stand and remove your cap for the performance of our national anthem.
Every week, Louis Van Gaal's army! Louis Van Gaal's army!
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir, how we doing? How we doing?
Hey, preseason's over, so there you go.
Dude, staring down the barrel of a gun, we got Premier League action back at Old Trafford Friday, sir.
Friday night under the lights.
August 10th.
And the fans are fuming right now. Preseason did end with a whimper in Munich, Germany at the Allianz Arena against Bayern Munich. Manchester United lost 1-0. The performance lacked a little grit and only one shot, not even on target for Manchester United. So left a lot to be desired. Didn't have a lot of the ball. The 4-3 didn't look lively. Rashford coming back from international break. What were your thoughts watching that match?
Sir, it was tough. It was, it really summed up our preseason, I would say, overall. Just kind of like not very inspiring, not too much to get excited about. Sir, we got to make some progress on Friday against Leicester. You know, they're not quite Bayern Munich, and Bayern did play basically their full squad, but they're still coming to fitness, and they bossed us, right? We had nothing doing in the midfield without Pogba there, Matic. We had no real possession, no threat, no chances created. Not much, sir.
Not much. Bayern Munich, a good side, sir. Lewandowski didn't start, so their full team did make it in eventually, but it was kind of a mix. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's look at the 4-3-3 that Jose Mourinho put out there, and this is most likely what we're going to see Friday against Leicester. Obviously some tweaks for injuries in the preseason match. We had Dave saves in net. Man, he looks good in that new orange kit. I don't like Chevrolet, but De Gea kit's always looking good. Darmian, Lindelof, Bailly, Shaw. We had the Pereira, Fred midfield, which I'm sure we're going to see more of. Sanchez, Mata, and Rashford up top. And Rashford donning the number 10 for Manchester United. So looks like he's picking up that number as well.
Dude, that's the big news of the night, really, is that I guess that says we're not buying a new number 10, you know? Congratulations to Rashford. Apparently, he's had an eye on the number 10 for a long time. And, you know, I think there's mixed camp of whether or not he deserves it or does. But excited for him.
Hey, Depay wore the number 7, so let's not get ahead of ourselves. Your number doesn't make
it
better.
First Academy lad since Beckham to wear the number 10. So we're all rooting for him. Time for him a big breakout season. Second breakout.
Let's hope. We need the goals. Seeing this lineup, I felt pretty confident against Bayern. Pereira's been firing. Fred looked good. Sanchez looked sharp. The Sanchez-Mata combination looked good. But like you said, not much doing after the ball kicked off. Rashford never really got started for me. And in the 6th minute, guess who's back? Dave saves Thiago with a great shot from his right foot outside the box. Saved in the center of goal by De Gea. And we're reminded why he bails us out so much, sir.
Dude, four-time player of the year. And that's not always a good thing. Yeah, it's not always a good thing. We got to hope that he's on our player of the year this year. But Dave doesn't look like he's out of form. Doesn't look like he's carrying any kind of lag from his underperformance of the World Cup. So good to have him back. He looked sharp, man.
Looked sharp, and he was called upon in the 19th minute again. Gnabry from Bayern Munich, left-footed shot from outside the box, saved in the bottom right corner. De Gea, cool stuff from the keeper. Looking good in that orange and earning his keep. Give that man a raise. What do you say?
Dude, he deserves whatever it needs to be paid in order to keep him around, man. Make him the highest paid player of the team. He is the most valuable. So he looked good. He,
Sport a new cut, too.
Dude, looks sharp.
Sport a new haircut.
Cleaning it up.
De Gea always coming out with something like the grimy beard is getting cleaned up, spiking the hair up. De Gea looking sharp, looking like world-class mate. So keep it going. Dave saves. End of the first half. Nothing doing for United, really. Our first shot didn't come to the second half. I would say the positive I saw was Fred looked really lively. He was losing a ball, he works really hard to get it back. And I thought he's kind of the standout player for us. Going to be a great signing, great value buy by Mourinho again. Another Mourinho buy, looking good. So people slate the manager, but Lukaku, Pogba, Fred, Sanchez, these are his players he brought
Matic,
into the side.
Right?
Exactly.
Some good signings for sure. Yeah, I think that's definitely true. I would agree with that. Fred looks like a player. I also think Lindelof and Bailly look pretty good together, all things considered, right? Like the midfield wasn't helping them too much. They did help with the defensive duties, but we weren't really holding the ball much and giving the defense a break. But I think that
Shaw didn't rate Shaw really well. It's
did not have a great game. Darmian didn't have a great game, but I think Lindelof and Bailly look pretty good. Lindelof coming back, he looked good. You know, he looked like he's building off that big World Cup. So I'd like Lindelof to slot in if we're going to play a back three or, you know, get some game time this year, because you know $30 million is no small fee.
If we don't sign another CB, we're going to need Lindelof to step up big. Second half, 51st minute, we had an injury and a substitution. Chris Smalling replaces Eric Bailly. Went down because of a leg injury. Again, Bailly known to be injury prone. Difficult to
not
see.
Good, sir.
And Mourinho was not confident he would start for Leicester. So tough news. Preseason injuries, the one thing you don't want to see.
Preseason, and you know, everyone thinks we're not everyone, but some people even pointed out today on Twitter that, you know, if the immediate needs were left back, center back, right winger, and it only seems like we might sign a center back, that's something we have more coverage in. But Bailly is like your bang on starter, and him injured again, do we need? We need reinforcements, and we need him ASAP, bro, because we are running out of time.
Yeah, and we can't have our best center back be consistently injured either. So, right. Again, the board, I don't know, they're watching this disaster unfold. They got to move, so... We got some time left in the window. 59th minute goal, Bayern Munich, came from a corner. Javi Martinez, you know, not going to say much about this. Could have done better. Obviously, the man marking could be better, but set piece goal. So, you know, their goal didn't come from open play. United really didn't get torched. I think we bent, but we didn't break. And, you know, a set piece goal. So, preseason, mate, what are you going to do?
Sir, I agree. I mean, like, you don't want to give them that goal, but there are worse goals to give up. And I think, you know, generally it's like this is kind of an underserved Mourinho team of last year. It's like we didn't have all of our players available. This is how you'd see them playing. Sit back, absorb that pressure. You know De Gea is going to bail you out like he did in this game. You give up, you know, kind of like a not-so-great goal like they did. But I think he's making do with the team he had. You know, Rashford is not fit, doesn't look fit. Certainly wasn't
the team he had is going to start against Leicester Friday.
It is.
So,
but
you
I think
know,
Leicester
I,
is a lesser team than Bayern Munich, to be fair.
Excuses at this point are kind of running out the window. This is true. It's preseason, though, so let's not try to get too into it. It was basically a 0-0 game without a corner goal. So 65th minute, we had subs. We had Jones, Fosu-Mensah, McTominay come in, slot in at the back line. And then 78th minute, we had the kids, play them all. They're going back to the U21s and youth teams. Chong, Mitchell, Grant, Twan Zabi actually went on loan. So get them one last rep in the United shirt. Nothing doing. And that was all she wrote at the Allianz Arena. And it was, oof. I mean, to be honest, I almost fell asleep at the end of the first half. I mean, usually I do not, but I was literally almost nodding off. That's how bored I was in this game. Things were just not consistent. We are not building it out of the back well. Obviously, you have Darmian, Lindelof, Bailly, and Shaw. Those players haven't played together regularly, but they weren't confident getting the ball to the midfield. The midfield wasn't linking up with the front three, and the front three didn't look too lively. Sanchez trying to get in behind, but every ball we kind of played up to him, it was nothing doing. And it just doesn't make me feel too good about that squad. Something's not clicking, and it reminds me of last season a little bit when we just never could get going against these lower table sides, and we just couldn't generate, you know, goals. You know, we couldn't break them down. We couldn't look dangerous.
And this is rough. I mean, this is rough. We got a lot of players out, and it is preseason, but it does remind me of one game in particular last season, which was like the Liverpool game at Anfield, where we kind of just weathered the storm, didn't really put a front foot forward all game, took the 0-0 draw, which probably wasn't a bad result with Pogba out, but we had no identity in this team, right? There's no one pulling the strings in midfield. No one in the front three could even get the ball, really. And we just seemed to be passing it back and forth, and De Gea would pump it up long. So it's like pump it up long without having Fellaini or Lukaku to win down, you know, aerial balls. So it's like, this even like half of a United team or half of a Mourinho team can't play like that and expect to get a performance against Bayern Munich.
Hey, preseason is over with this match.
Put this one to bed. 2018 preseason was a rough one,
sir. Put it into bed. We're close to putting it to bed, sir. Bayern had 72% of the possession. Man United had 28%. That's one of the lowest I've seen. Shots on target, Bayern 4 to Man United 0. I don't remember what we didn't have.
Zero.
We didn't have any shots on target. The only shot we had was Fred Skinen over the bar. Instant take from the fans. Kavah Schokel from Twitter. Only a friendly, but just 28% possession for Manchester United in a 1-0 defeat at Bayern Munich today. One attempt on goal. Bayern had 13. Zero on target. Bayern had 5. United went all the way to Munich for 219 passes completed to Bayern 656. That is kind of the statement. On the score sheet, it looked like we got dominated. But if you watch the game, it was really just a boring preseason match.
It was. It was just like one final tune-up. Big old crowd at the Allianz. Get yourself some more legs before the season starts. But, like, I don't think people need to overreact to this game. Right? We overreacted to the Liverpool loss. It's like we're going to overreact to this. So
yeah, that's just the facts. Just laying out the facts.
The facts.
Hey, some more facts from Ryan at @Vintage_United on Twitter. Points to take away from the match. 3-5-2 is our best formation. I agree. Two up front, we looked so much better. Mata is so ineffective on the right wing. I agree on the right wing, but playing as a two with Sanchez, he actually looked pretty good. Fred will be a good signing. Totally agree.
No one disagrees with that one.
Luke Shaw needs to go. I don't know if you would disagree with that, but he doesn't look like he's going to get it done at left back for us this year. And then the follow-up point Ryan made was we desperately need a new left back. And
sir, we got the number one in the world coming back. Your boy, Ashley Young, will be back in a couple weeks. So
he's not bad. He's not bad. He's
probably better than Luke Shaw.
Not going to win you the World Cup.
Luke Shaw looked like he was coming back into form beginning of preseason, looked fit. And then, I don't know, the last two games, he's not looked that good.
He looked the best on LVG before he broke his leg. That one, he had a great match.
Like 10 games, he looked like lights out. And then not since then.
All right, last fan take on the match. MUFC Anna, we were brilliant for beating Madrid and we weren't brilliant for beating Real Madrid, and we're not crap for losing 1-0 to Bayern Munich. Plenty to work on. Herrera, Pereira, Mata. Alexis had a decent preseason. Lindelof and Bailly looked like a real pairing last night. And Rashford, our new number 10. And Fred looks promising. So a lot of positives to take away. You know, a lot of people on Twitter and the Twitterverse were going nuts, and they were saying Mourinho out, and Mourinho, you got to fire him, negative tactics, all this stuff. And it's like, can we just get through preseason before we go Mourinho out? Let's see how Leicester goes. Let's see how the first six games go. Talk to me in November, December, and, you know, I'm sure we'll know whether Mourinho's going to be out.
We'll know in 2 months, sir.
We'll know. Everyone will be loving it. Loving
or hating, dude. It's either one, right?
Love or hate him.
But, sir, here's the worst bit. It's not only just like the most awful preseason, it's just like we got no transfers to keep us off the Twitter sphere. We're all like hungry. We're hungry for transfer news.
Hungry, hungry hippos.
Dude, we are. We're like hungry as Axel Tuanzebe and his hungry, hunger hippo record for transfers. So we're all on it all the time. In a perfect world, our business would have been done by now.
How many Twitter refreshes do you think you've completed the entire transfer window?
I can't admit on this public forum.
It would be so depressing.
Too many. Way too much time on Twitter. But that's the problem, sir. It's like we've all been looking for the news. There's no news coming. It is Monday night, U.S. West Coast time, dude, and we got nobody in the door.
Perfect transition, sir. We are jumping into our final transfer update. Thank God.
We thought we'd have a player profile by now, sir. I was like, the next pod will have someone to profile.
Unbelievable. The window closes for this is EPL sanctioned because last year, we all know, United voted against it, but all the clubs voted to close it before the first game. It used to go to mid-September. The window closes for English Premier League at 5 o'clock British Standard Time or 9 a.m. Pacific Time on Thursday, August 9th. This Thursday, yes, that is less than 3 days away. And as we're recording right now, it's about 2 days and 14 hours, and we don't have anything concrete.
Does countdown begin? Do you have a countdown on your watch? You should get that.
I literally have a link that's counting it down because I actually need to calculate it because I'm just so excited for this to be over. And yes, we're officially in the Muppet price zone. Any player we buy will be completely overpriced. It will be a panic buy.
Yep.
Going over our recent panic buys since Sir Alex has left. And these are players that we've recently signed on or close to the last day of window. It's been Martial, Came from France. English press, he had no chance.
He did have a chance.
Might not want to play for Mourinho.
It looks like it.
Martial came in. What was it, 50 million?
Yeah.
I would say 50 million pounds. Fellaini came in with Moyes on, I think, the second to last day. And then we had the Blind and Falcao signings close to the end of the window. And if you look at all four of these, none have really panned out the way a Lukaku or a Pogba or even a Ronaldo.
Or a Matic even.
So seems like when we leave business to the end of the window, which we are in Muppet Zone, it's not good business. So all the fans were hungry. We want a player. But if you look at deals done at the end, they're usually not good business. And it's a panic buy and we pay too much. And so can we just all just hope we don't sign anyone now?
I got one that counters. He's my favorite player probably to ever play for Manchester United. Definitely top three.
This is post-Fergie, though.
Yeah, well, post-Fergie.
I went post-Fergie,
okay,
right?
Fair. Okay, because Wayne Rooney, bro, was signed the last day.
No, I know, I know.
But that's like, if we signed Toby
this is
on
Ed
last
Woodward.
Day.
This is Ed Woodward right here.
I know
here.
It is. They're squabbling over $5 to $10 million.
The man who's going to be, and by the way, we didn't almost sold De Gea on the last day, too, but we didn't.
Facts.
So Ed Woodward, his last day business is judged by those players, and that's probably over $120 million spent.
Falcao was a free transfer.
Blin
was like 20 something. Fellaini was 30, and Martial's 50.
So it's 100.
100. 100, yeah, and like only two are left, and one might be out the door, and people hate Fellaini might have been like the value buy at 27 million
pounds.
Yeah,
so maybe panic buys aren't good buys, but I think the real question is how did we get here? Mourinho, we knew the players we needed to buy. You can listen to the pods when we did the season recap. Who do we need? I would have said 100% we're going to sign 3 to 4 players, and it's going to be a center back, it's going to be a central midfielder, and it's going to be an attacking winger. And I would have said, we're definitely going to get him. You would argue the left back, it's going to be 4, and we would have argued over one player.
Yeah. Look at us now, sir. Where are we?
We need 2 to 3, and so I can't believe we didn't sign a defender. That's unbelievable, especially for Mourinho team. And I know his blood is boiling.
That's
that
why there's so much
defender,
bad
so.
Presser is because he is just so pissed. He wants a center back. That's what he's asked for.
So how do we
he
get here?
Given 9 names, bro.
So why are we here today? Because why is it because the board won't pay the price?
No, because number one target was a Levy-owned player, right? Where like
Alderweireld.
Yeah,
it's number one. Apparently they'll sell him for 60.
60.
Apparently Bayern will sell Boateng for 50.
But he ain't worth 50. Whereas Alderweireld is probably worth 60. Boateng ain't worth 50, bro. He's like injury prone as shit. He played 16 games last year.
Sir, we can get into the who's worth what, but I'm saying is it seems to me that Alderweireld or Boateng for 50 or 60 million versus the Harry Maguire for 85. You know, we're not breaking the record for a defender, and they're both good championship level defenders here. And I just don't understand why we're not linked, given there's only 2 days really left in the window. I can't believe we're not signed, sealed, delivered today or tomorrow.
We're not close, bro. I mean,
we're literally playing patty cake.
There's usually more smoke by now, and now it's just like a bunch of names up
and rumors.
We got no Craig Norwood. We got nothing. We got no confirmed. No.
We're hot on Mina.
Instagram. Mina's trash. Giving them away. Mina.
We went from Maguire to Mina to Alderweireld to Boateng in like 7 days.
It's amazing. What a cycle it's been. All
like center backs. Hot and heavy, and I think it's probably United. I mean, if you're Ed Woodward, the way you would do this behind the scenes is you basically start saying you're interested in all these players, and then that way you're able to negotiate with them because you're like, oh, I might buy Harry Maguire, Barca. If you give us a deal, we'll sign Mina instead. And so you kind of like smokescreen everyone with these deals, multiple at the same time, and then eventually someone will break. And I think it's a game of chicken right now, and Ed Woodward's playing the game of chicken.
The car's coming,
and he
bro.
Might
that car's
lose.
Coming head on.
So the whole point is if you get to the last day and we haven't signed someone, everyone's going to know that they can make United pay top dollar for that center back. So the longer we wait, the more leverage it gives to the selling clubs, I believe.
Depends. Yeah, I would agree generally. I do agree with that sentiment.
Because there's January.
But unless it's Tottenham's in kind of a pinch, right, because of Alderweireld's contract.
They can sell him to another team because the other teams have a month longer transfer window.
They do. They have 3
right?
weeks.
This problem is uniquely United's.
And
that
and
makes
I think
it
you
worse.
Just, dude, you overpay for Alderweireld. He's the best of the bunch. I think he probably is the best of the people that we've been linked with in the center back position that wanted to move, you know, other than
but
like
I agree
Varane.
We all I agree we all want Alderweireld, but are we going to do it? My point is now that we're here, I think that there's a chance. I would have said 2 weeks ago, 100% we're getting a center back. That will be the only player we get. Today, I'm 50-50 on. I think it's 50-50.
Like
30-70. Like 30 we sign, 70 we don't sign anyone else. And it's going to be based on the board, and they're going to take the most unbelievable amount of heat if they do not bring in one of these players. If they do, I think the fans will be pissed, but they'll take it. If they don't, it's going to be fucking Glazers out, you know, golden, green, scarves.
Yeah, coming back,
and
bro.
It's going to come back. 100% if they don't buy a defender, people are going to be calling Glazers out again.
Dude, for good reason, bro, because you can't manage this club with that tight of a checkbook when you're Manchester United and you have this much cash and you're signing sponsors left and right and the players got to go to all these bullshit events just like hawking your fucking noodles. You got to bring in the top class players. You got to compete with the cities and the newly rich Liverpool. And
it's unacceptable.
You got to splash cash, bro. It's like you don't want to overpay for Alderweireld. Just do it, dude, because he is class. He's a top, top player and he's available and he wants to come to United and is what we probably need in order to make a last push.
So what does your gut say?
My gut says we're going to overpay for Alderweireld.
I would say my gut says we'll get a center back, probably £65 million.
Yeah, I think we'll
day.
Pay like $65 million
the
for
last
Alderweireld.
Day, it'll be Alderweireld or it'll be Boateng. One of those.
Ooh, Boateng. Oof.
Maguire's out, Mina's out. It's either Boateng or Alderweireld. I'd take either or. We just need a center back. The next transfer rumor is the most crazy one I've ever heard. Pogba swap for Yerry Mina and Andre Gomez.
Andre
I don't even
Gomez.
Know what Andre Gomez is.
Shit, dude.
Plus 40... And so Barcelona would give us Yerry Mina, Andre Gomez, and £45 million to get Paul Pogba. Per DiMarzio, United are not going to sell. He is the face of the club.
That's the worst offer I've ever heard. By the way, we just say
this offer was made.
These are two players that they want to get rid of because they're trash. Mina mainly because they're over the EU cap, so they need to get rid of him, even though they just signed him. But everybody knows that they do not rate Andre Gomez. They've been trying to get rid of Andre Gomez since the beginning of the transfer window.
This is like us giving them like Shaw and Darmian. Plus, like $30 million for Messi.
I heard it was £40 million, and we couldn't even. Dude, Everton spent $50 million on Richarlison. It's like you can't even buy like Sessegnon, dude, for £40 million. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but they made the offer. We clearly declined it, and DiMarzio is the best source we got, and he says United not willing to sell Pogba. Given that is the case, you know, the Pogba chatter, very interesting.
That
sir.
Ain't going away, bro.
We'll get to
that's
it. We'll get
brutal.
To that.
That ain't going away for the next 3 weeks while everyone else's windows are still open, sir.
I know.
That's going to be like
that's
relentless.
Be, I didn't even think of it.
Wait,
good point. It's going to be a terrible month. And then we have loans that were recently completed we should bring up because it is in the transfer section. Tuan Zabi went to Aston Villa on loan. Great for the youngster. He'll get a lot more playing time. And Fosu Mensah went to Hertha Berlin on loan. Sad to see both of them go, especially if we don't sign a center back. So I think we've
got to be right.
This has to be a hint. This has to be a hint. We are getting one. And Woodward's assured Mourinho because these two players would not go out on loan if we weren't going to sign someone. I don't think.
Especially with all the smoke about and Rojo going somewhere, you know. But if both are going, and I think like Tuan Zabi probably looked the slightly more advanced of the two right now. Both can do a job at central midfield as a CDM or. You know, do a shift to right back as well as being a really, you know, promising young center back. But, sir, we got to be signing somebody if they got rid of both these young players.
You're telling me. Sir. You're telling me. Hey, well, we're going to close our transfer update out with our Twitter poll. We tweeted out which center back should Manchester United sign. And the options were Yerry Mina, Harry Maguire, Toby Alderweireld, and Jerome Boateng. All names I've learned how to spell this summer because of the transfer window.
And pronounce.
Overwhelmingly, fans want Toby Alderweireld, EPL proven, great Tottenham defender coming off from injury. Did feature in the World Cup. 69% of the votes of 234 votes went for Toby. Second place, Harry Maguire, only 15%. And then Yerry Mina and Jerome Boateng split 8%. So in third. And looking at this list, you can see if I asked this question 3 weeks ago, Harry Maguire might be number one.
You think?
I do think the overwhelming sentiment is people do not like Mina and they don't like Boateng. Nope. I don't know why. I know you don't like – you actually rate Boateng.
Not right? Now. I didn't realize how many injuries he's had.
Okay.
He's only started like 45 games in the last three seasons combined. he's got a
there you go.
Very
a little more
bad...
digging. You're off the boat.
Yeah, I just need to do my research. You know, I didn't know it. And Mina apparently is just like hot garbage because I've never heard of a player more slated than Barcelona fans slating Mina. I would take him for like $20 million as well as somebody else and getting rid of like one of the superfluous center backs, right? Sign Mina as an up and comer and sign Alderweireld, 29, stopgap. go for, trying to win the league right now. But dude, you don't like Mina's not going to solve any problems in my opinion. And Boateng will probably get injured.
Hey, he could win the Ballon d'Or. You never know,
it's
sir.
That's true. Never know. Banging him in.
All right. Well, hey, that's it from the transfers. Preseason's over. Transfers are almost over for EPL. Like you said, the sagas are the Pogba saga is going to go on because every other league in the world can buy and until mid-September. What's the chance the EPL overturns this early ending of the transfer window after this next month because they realize how insane it is having other clubs bid for their players while they're in the season?
I don't know.
I think they could possibly change it.
Well, I think they might next see year. Is that some of the teams that do these young teams that come up like the Watfords and the Huddersfields and the Brightons, they buy pretty good players, you know, and they have money to buy from other leagues. And I think like European leagues that do have money, right? Like the good, pretty good teams in Spain, not the Barcelonas, but they'll look and be like, I could buy one of these players right from Europe, from England. There's a lot of talent in England and I can attract them over because their window is closed. They can't sign my players. I need to get players. So, dude, I don't think it's going to be good for us to have our window closed.
It's
going
to be interesting to see. And I think they could literally change it for the next season. But not don't, who cares about next season? We're talking about the season. This is the season preview. This is the 27th season of the Premier League. It kicks off with Manchester United against Leicester City at Old Trafford, August 10th, 2018. And it ends on May 12th of 2019. So you can imagine it's going to be a long journey. We're happy to kick it off.
Wives and girlfriends, buckle up. It's another long season coming
aboard. Another long, especially if it doesn't go our way. But we're not going to say that.
Especially long, then.
Manchester City are the defending champions, which we hate to hear. They almost won the title at home against us, but
almost.
With the amazing comeback, the best game of last year, and Pogba's brace, we delayed that celebration, which was at least something we could. We didn't win silverware, but that was a very nice way to go out. Wolverhampton Wanderers, Cardiff City, and Fulham join as newly promoted clubs for the 2018-2019 season, and they replaced West Brom, sorry to see, Swansea City, and Stoke City, who are relegated to the EFL Championship. So it should be an amazing season. Manchester City are the overwhelming favorites. It's unbelievable. Liverpool are number two, and then we are number three. So we are underdogs going into this year. Last year, we were the favorites of all the pundits before the season kicked off because Mourinho had a lot of momentum, won the Europa Cup, and we thought last year was going to be a big year, and looks like it was Pep's coming out party instead. And like I mentioned, the last trophy we won, which is a big deal, was the Europa League, and that was on May 24, 2017.
A whole 14 months ago.
And if fans can remember, I mean, like the state of fans right now is scary, but if fans can remember winning that trophy – And how excited we were for the next season,
dude! It wasn't even a year and a half ago. It's like
it's crazy, right?
Spurs have gone 13 years without winning anything, and it's like we've gone 13 months without winning anything, and people are losing their shits.
Should have won the FA Cup.
Klopp hasn't won fuck all.
He should have won the FA Cup against Chelsea.
Should have. Because that Chelsea
should be in the, Community Shield against City. Like those things would have mattered to the fan base.
They do, dude. Because every silverware, no matter how small and how big. You know, we won the Europa. We wanted to be winning the Champions League, but everyone was excited about the Europa. It was a trophy for us to be celebrating.
But
it's only been 13 months. That's all I'm saying is like it hasn't been that long.
No, it's really about how City beat us last year. Going into this year as a United fan, coming off of that trophy in the Europa League, I was so excited for the next season. This season, fans are dreading because of how well City did last year, and because our board really hasn't gone out and bought in this summer window.
How much money Liverpool spent. That's like the one. It's like how well City's done. They also strengthened, and then City spent, and Liverpool spent a shit ton of money, and we've not really spent that much money, right?
Yeah, and getting to the key points, sir, for this season, are we ready? We have a lot of players coming back, fitness questions, and our first six matches, these are going to be critical, right? Leicester at home, Brighton away, Tottenham at home, Burnley away, Watford away, and Wolves at home. Now, that is not the worst first six matches.
Tottenham's at home. And Tottenham's coming off having a lot of teams, players of the World Cup, and they should all be fit by the third match. But that's a pretty good opening lineup, sir.
It's a good opening lineup, but you got to put points on the board here because it's going to get tougher.
Dude, you got to play Brighton away, Watford away, Burnley. These are like common missteps for a Mourinho team at United. So it's like we got to go to these like smaller teams and get results away. That's critical because I think we can do the job at home, even against Spurs and of course Leicester at the opener. But like you got to go down to Watford, down to Brighton, and win away.
It's not going to be easy for Mourinho and his tactics. I could see the headline being United are like second place. Say we dropped a few points off the first six matches. Hold it together. Say you win four, draw one, maybe lose one or draw two, right? We're in the race. We finally get Pogba back. We finally looking good. The headline probably reads, you know, or the facts probably read, Mourinho's doing a good job with what he has, but the fans are mad about the football he's playing and the tactics,
be
right? Because Mourinho's he's a pragmatist. If you look at his roster, this isn't going to be pretty football.
No,
it's not going to be pretty, but it's probably going to be effective. And United fans are going to have to get used to that until we get the Pogbas and the Lukakus and everyone clicking full gear. Because we don't play heavy metal football under Mourinho. We play pragmatic football.
We do, but you know what? I hate to say it. Pragmatic football can win. It should have won us the FA Cup. Whatever, we lost it, but it did win us.
Well, Phil Jones, I'll blame it on Phil Jones.
Yeah, we should have scored, and we should have come back and won that game. It has won him previously, right? You make do with the team you got. At the beginning, we're going to have a makeshift team, not of everyone that we'd want as our first starters. But, sir, it's all about making the most of the team you got, getting a victory against Leicester. Brighton is 9 days later, so you should have all your boys back, maybe like bar Matic and the rest of the injuries. We got to get that opening win.
All right, sir. You said it. Let's jump in. We have our predictions here. So me and Alex, we're going to put our money where our mouth is. We're actually going to be making predictions here, and we're going to be reading these out on the season recap pod, see how we did. There's five predictions here. The first prediction is over under Manchester United total points, and currently the line in Vegas right now is 77.5 points is the over under.
For even odds?
Yes, and we finished last year with 81.
Wow.
So I believe City's over-under is 86.
86.
And Liverpool is like 79. So the way Vegas has it is City win by a larger margin over us and Liverpool, who are pretty close, and Tottenham is actually 77.5. So Vegas has us even with Tottenham on points.
Wow.
From an over-under perspective.
Interesting.
Sir, what do you take? What does Alex take here?
I'm taking the over.
Down.
I'm taking the over.
Alex, taking the over, and the tiebreak would be how many points? 81 last year. Over.
84 points.
You say 84 points. So I'm going to say I'm going to take the over as well. John's taking the over, and I'm going to say 88 points.
88 points, sir. I like the sound of that.
88 points. I got to be the optimist.
That means I think they were winning if we get 88 points, sir.
It'll be close. Probably. I think I'm calling title. Got you every year. Total. We're Manchester United, mate. Never forget. Second prediction, total wins. Last year we had 25 wins. What do you think it's going to take this year?
I'm calling 29 wins.
29 wins.
Yeah.
All right, sir. I think 29 wins exceeds 84 points.
Does it? You sure?
Yeah.
It might. Then,
it'll be 87.
Two separate questions. Right. Well, two separate questions.
Okay, you'll take
two separate questions.
You'll take 29 wins. Optimistic. I'm going to take because you could take draws in between, could add up, you can get there, but you can't get more. So I'm probably going to take 28 wins. I'll go 28. So 28, 29.
Okay.
Easy breakdown and trophies, sir. You got to call it. You got to call what trophies we win.
Calling,
and how many?
I'm calling one trophy. Calling the FA Cup. That's it, sir.
Okay, I'm going to call.
If we had signed Alderweireld and William by now, I'd be calling the Premier League.
Sir, you
got to
assume. This is a guess.
Assume Woody. Woody's letting me down, bro. I have a statue for Woody in my backyard, but now he's letting me down.
I'm going to say one trophy, the only one that matters. Premier League title. Sir Alex in the stands. Feeling better, looking better.
Number 21, bro. I like the sound of that.
Pogba won the World Cup. Next one.
Player of the
on
year.
On the next one.
Player of the year.
On the next one. No Champions League yet.
That's the only thing, though. No FA Cup, no League Cup. Just the league. Just right? I like that. Just the league. I'll take it.
Yeah, who cares about the Carabao Cup?
That's all that matters, bro.
Leading scorer, sir.
Alexis Sanchez. Consistent with the last pod.
All right, I'm gonna take Lukaku. What do you think? How many goals do you think Sanchez will score?
I said 30 between all competitions.
30 all comps. Okay, I'll say Lukaku 21 in the league. It's kind of I rate league goals higher, you know. And then
21 in the league for Luke, Big Luke.
Yep, 21 in the league.
So I think he got 16. Okay, good.
And the last prediction here. This is a big one, and this is the most controversial one.
Oof, I didn't see this one.
Jose to be sacked versus the last game of the 18-19 season, question mark. Right now, he's odds, Vegas odds say he's the number, he's going to be the, basically the number one manager to be sacked. Most likely to be sacked right
haven't
now,
even started.
Starting
haven't
the
even
season.
Started.
And managers get sacked throughout the entire year. He's rated first to go. Is Jose, given how optimistic we are,
certainly not the first to go.
Is Jose going to be sacked for the end of the season? For the last game.
United win the 21st Premier League title with Michael Carrick as their coach.
Very possible. It's actually very possible. It's very possible.
Him and McKenna.
Carrick could be the next, you know, next Sir Alex. It's a possible scenario. So what do you think? Jose to be sacked, yes or no?
I'm going to say no on this, sir.
I'm going to say no as well, mainly because I think that, you know, we're actually going to play well this season, and I think more things are going to go wrong for other teams. Like, I think City's going to hit a few bumps in the roads, injuries, et cetera, and that's why you play it. You play the game because you never know who's going to win. Any team can beat anyone any day. City got lucky quite a few times, and we shall see next
year.
Sure,
it's going to be a lot harder for them because I think everyone's gotten better, and, you know, you could argue that they've gotten better, but it's not as new their playing style. I think you know how to, you know, at least try and counter what they have going on. So we'll see, bro. I don't think they're gonna score 100 points again.
All right, quickly we're gonna break down the first match. Again, we said Leicester City versus Manchester United. That's Friday noon Pacific, so Friday night football. Starting 11, sir, for this match. I mean, you saw what we had playing against Bayern. There's a few injury scares. Who do you think we're gonna start and what formation?
Sir,
I think Leicester City.
Leicester City, bro. So I guess we got Baye's out, right? He got injured against Bayern. So Dave Saves is the constant. Who else would it be but him? It looks like Darmian is our slot on right back at the moment. So he's going to be starting for that game. I think I'm Lindelof, Smalling, your center back start, pairing Shaw left back. Fuck, man.
Herrera's got a knock. Yeah.
Jesus, bro. We're in dire straits. Maybe Pereira, Fred, McTominay, and then Sanchez, Mata, Rashford up front.
Maybe.
Hey, I don't know, sir.
You think 4-3-3? You're going to stick with the 4-3-3?
Stick with the 4-3-3. I think that's what's available. And I think if he was going to play three at the back, he would have kept Twanzabi or, you know, Fosu Mensah around, don't you think?
I think he should play the 3-5. I think you're right. I think he's going to play something like you said. He's going to play the 4-3-3, but I'd like to see the 3-5-2. I'd like to see Lindelof, Smalling, McTominay, maybe a Mata, Pereira, Fred midfield with Shaw and Darmian on the wing. And then up top, you do Sanchez, Rashford.
And that's, you know, I think that's
the that's best like you want to win. That's like you want to score.
The best we've
you know?
Looked all preseason with players available, right? Pierre drops into that deep line CDM role, have Fred play yep. with Herrera.
And then,
I like the sound of that.
Sanchez looked good in the front, too. But the problem with Mourinho is I think he's going to be thinking going back and defensive, and that's why the 4-3-3 would probably be a little less risky from a defensive perspective.
Sir, not too long to wait now.
It will be much more boring, and I'm sure there will be a lot of moaning on Twitter. I can't imagine that game is going to
–
I can't really. So what's the score prediction? Given we just broke down the lineup and you think it's going to be a snoozer – even though it's the United season opener, it's a terrible thing to say.
I'm going to go the contrarian, United 4-0.
United 4-0.
United
right.
4-0, baby.
I'm going to say 1-0 United. We get the 3 points, do the business. Not pretty. Everyone's still upset, but players coming back. So Mourinho can be angry at Woodward.
Hey, we got the first game, right? We have the first game of the Premier League season, but then we do get a nice break between the first and the second game, not until Sunday, the 19th. So it's good to get, like, the Lukaku's up to speed. Hopefully, I don't know how bad Matic's surgery was, but him back in contention, right? Lingard, it's like, we need to get those players back into the fold because then we've got a much more dangerous team, a much more exciting team to watch, and that will help with public sentiment, because it's pretty down at the moment with all the lack of signings.
I don't know. There's a lot of Mourinho haters, a lot of just United haters. A lot of people just don't say anything positive about their team. Strange. Jumping in, United in the news. Speaking of strange, per the BBC, Jose Mourinho warns of difficult season. The manager was quoted saying, "The other clubs who compete with us are really strong and already have a fantastic team, or they are invested massively like Liverpool, who are buying everything and everybody. If we do not make our team better, it will be a difficult season for us." Jose Mourinho saying it like it is. Eddie Woodward, get it done. Can't believe we are in the position we are. I don't believe Ed Woodward's going to be sleeping much in the next 3 days.
And he shouldn't. You know what? Because, Eddie, you're the most important player we got for the next 48 hours. Get some signings in. Dude, I love that he's throwing sand at Liverpool, investing massively, buying everything and everybody. But he's got to throw sand. He's like, we got it. One signing, you know, with luck on our side, we can make a run. But, like, you should be making two signings for this manager if you want him to actually have a good chance of doing, you know, a run of the title and maybe even Europe or something else, the FA Cup. But I'm just saying is, like, we do need to make some investments, and we got very little time to do it.
We have kicked that can down the road. He's like, we are dying. Ooh,
Thursday at, what, 5 p.m., you say? 5 p.m.
Thursday,
time?
Thursday, 9 a.m.
9 a.m.?
9 a.m. Pacific. 5 p.m.
So by the time we like, shrug off our morning, blurs, it's over, bro. The window's done.
Yeah, so get up early and see. I mean, when you wake up on Thursday morning, you will know it will be done and dusted. Next article this is from the Mail. I want Paul Pogba out of Manchester United. Agent Mino Raiola plotting a sensational Barcelona move to move his star player away from Old Trafford. Sir Alex Ferguson was right. Mino Raiola, he's a cancer. And bringing Paul Pogba back to Manchester United, we did bring that cancer back, and he's piping up to the press, which you have to think he has the blessing of Paul Pogba to go to the press and drum up this type of nonsense. I have to think it's either part of a new deal he wants with Manchester United because he won the World Cup, or he actually wants to go. What do you think?
I mean, I think it's him trying to get a new deal, right? He knows what Sanchez is being paid. He thinks he should be paid the same amount. He hasn't earned it, but now that he's won the World Cup, he thinks he can justify that kind of
with Adidas
wage increase.
And winning the World Cup, I think he's earned that money. I mean, like, globally, he is probably like
he's probably a bigger
Messi, Ronaldo, him now.
No, Neymar than him probably.
Yeah, Neymar's up there. Yeah, I would. Yeah,
he's probably fourth. He's top five.
His stock is going up.
It is, dude. That's why you don't sell him for fucking Yerry Mina and some other schmuck.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the worst offer of all time.
Shut him down.
But I don't think Pogba wants to leave yet because he would just look like a chump, like biggest chump city of all time.
Who knows what he needs?
It's him trying to get paid, dude. And you know what? Just pay him. Pay to him. Pay De Gea. Let's lock down some of these big players and just keep on trucking, baby.
Yeah, I say pay him. Maybe give him a year. See how he does. Then pay him.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Next article, Paul Pogba, Romelu Lukaku returned to Manchester United training to give
miserable
Jose Mourinho boost for Premier League opener. Gotta love these salty headlines, sir. Great to see Paul back with the squad. Earlier than I thought he'd be. And let's hope he can make it back for the Brighton game because that's going to be away. And that South Coast ain't friendly.
Dude, those winds whipping up, we could use them. I'm sure. I think by then, bro, he should be ready to go. These guys are, like, always pretty fit. We're not talking about Wayne Rooney's or, like, Luke Shaw's.
We saw a lot of sad Pogba on the bench last year. I want to remind you that like,
we saw a little bit of it.
He, like, slated
him
on the bench, like, quite a bit.
Mourinho
should play.
Mourinho got no credit for everything that happened up in the run-up to the World Cup and, like, the development.
I don't know what credit
Mourinho
gets.
Tough love, bro. You don't think he deserves any credit? Like, other managers, you don't think Pep would be getting some credit if, like, he had tough talk with his star player and all of a sudden
he didn't play lights out the whole tournament either. He kind of came back.
He got better every game, bro.
This is true.
He, like, grew. By the end of the World Cup, he was, like, the best player in the World Cup.
I would agree with that. He grew into the tournament, and he played with a really good France team. So you got to give him that, and I do think at this time though, Pogba has to play every week. I think you got to play Paul Pogba every single week in, week out, no matter what. Like, Mourinho can't just be benching him for passive aggressive bullshit. You got to play Pogba.
We're past,
like,
that, right? We got to be past.
I hope we're past that because last year we weren't. So we shall see. Final headline, and this is an interesting one for the American fans out there: has the International Champions Cup run its course? And a quote from the article, even Manchester United manager Jose Mourinho said he wouldn't pay to see these games.
Wouldn't pay to see the games.
And this is something that, you know, I have gone to ICC matches before. I went to the Rose Bowl, see LVG's team. And I've actually even gone to Levi's team in Santa Clara to watch a match. But it's the ICC it's just, for me, we didn't go this year, and we live here. We're huge United fans. I mean, we fly to Manchester every year to watch the team play, and it's gotten to the point.
And we didn't go to Santa Clara, which is like an hour and a half drive without traffic. So it's like 2 hours each way, but because you're not seeing the full product, bro. That's the problem. It's like, you could go, but it's a bad deal for the fans.
It's not for keeps.
No, it's
not.
It's
not for keeps,
dude,
right?
If they were honest with themselves, right? If the people that were running this shit were honest with themselves and say, hey, you're not getting the full United product, and they're not getting the full Liverpool opposition, so we're going to charge tickets for $25, I would probably, you know, people would go and it would be full, but like, they gouge the shit out of you with these overpriced tickets for games that are not competitive or mean anything. So they're taking advantage of American fans because we have money. We want to see our teams play. So I'm not going.
Yeah, no, I definitely have to say I'm over the ICC. I think it was a novelty kind of when it came in. And, you know, it's great to watch the preseason games. It's probably good because we have the if you think of USA, it's like we have great facilities for all these teams, travel around, play all these matches in preseason, get fit. I mean, the purpose of preseason is to get fit. So if the United team's doing it in the USA, I'm happy. You know, when they went to China, it was all jacked up, and I wasn't pumped about
that.
I'm happy that we get players in, they get minutes, they get fit, and the coach can see what's going to work for the season, and that's really the purpose. It's not to sell tickets or have some ICC cup. So I'm really indifferent. I probably won't pay them any of my money, but that's kind of my position.
Well, if you asked Ed Woodward, the point is not just to get fit. It's also just sell that noodle, baby. You got to sell those noodles.
Yeah, I know. They're trying to sell those noodles.
Sell those noodles.
Those faucets, sir.
Yeah, that's the next big one.
Next segment, tweets of the week. We got some good ones here from Joe Sillett. Ed Woodward.
What up, Joe?
The Glazers and the Manchester United board have had 85 days since the end of the last season to deliver the players needed to restore the team to where it should be. A left back, center back, and right wing were desperately needed. Now down to the last 4 days of the window. Absolute shambles. Hashtag MUFC.
Absolute shambles.
This sums it up.
Hashtag
every
sad.
Fan is thinking this. I don't think there's much we need to say other than how Joe put it. That is, we are in shambles right now. I'm sweating.
In shambles, you think?
My gut says we're going to get someone, but if we don't, that's going to be a kick in the nuts if we don't sign a center back. And this strong possibility we don't. And I don't know why. Something's kind of wrong here.
Something's going on, dude. I mean, maybe it's the prices. Maybe it's, I don't know.
I think the board's just being
cheap,
A little penny pinching. They're trying to just be too good at it when you should just get your business done and get on with it. Because there's so much more money to be made with this great team. Next Twitter tweet of the week at @SalfordMUFC_. Be calm. Nobody knows what's going on. If nobody is signed by Thursday night, then by all means, start panicking, moaning, calling Ed useless, and calling out the Glazers, wanting to kick Fred the Red up the arse, whatever makes you happy. This is probably the right attitude. Chill the fuck out, and then if we don't get someone by the end of the window, then fucking panic. And right now, everyone's panicking into the end of the window. So, great point, Salford MUFC underscore.
Let's close the window first. You know,
yeah,
we've been doing. I hate to say it. We graded our transfer window. You know, weeks earlier, we talked about it probably every single pod while the transfer window's been open. But it's always been, we'll wait till the window's closed. Just wait until the window's closed. Dude, it's 2 days before, and I'm starting to panic. But he's right. Thursday freaking morning here, we'll know for sure. That grading will be out. So we'll give you, then you'll do your grades on Twitter.
Yeah.
We'll get a proper vote.
Yeah, we'll get a proper F vote. all right. On a more next tweet, @SibsMUFC. On a more positive note, I'm hoping this season Lindelof can overtake Smalling and Jones. He returned early from holiday, thrown straight in away at Bayern, and the general consensus that he played well. Play him against Leicester. Jose from Sibs. I would agree. I hope Lindelof, he looked good in the World Cup. You know, slot him in. Make him earn the job.
Dude, he's going to play, bro. Didn't Bayern just get hurt? So he's what we got, for better or for worse. But I just hope he can, like, step up, be the leader that we're looking to sign in Alderweireld, right? It's like, we can use a second leader. We need someone who's calm, cool, collected at the back, doesn't get, you know, brain farts at the same velocity as a Smalling or a Phil Jones. So,
especially when they play together.
Dude, Iceman, bro. I want to hear that Iceman cometh that we all heard rumors about.
He's a poor man's Iceman, in my opinion, but you know.
He looks like it. He's got that blonde hair. But either way, it'd be great for him to step up big time for us this season, because that would be great. That would really be great. Thank you, Lindelof. Please do.
Next tweet, Michael Barton, @MR Michael Barton. I don't understand why anyone wouldn't be pleased about Rashford being handed the number 10. It's a great reward for his talent and hard work. When the spirit and tradition of the club is spoken of, Rashford ticks every box. There was, and this is in response to a bunch of shade being thrown at Rashford taking the number 10. It seems that fans, I've learned a lot about Manchester United fans in the past 5 to 6 years since Sir Alex Ferguson, and it's
so the true colors, bro. Right, you see now, the true colors after Ferguson left, right?
Yeah, and right now it seems to be pretty. This is a low. I don't think. I remember Moyes was pretty rough, but the season hasn't even started, and everything is so negative, and everyone's slating Rashford for getting that 10. It's like, no, give him. It's a number. It's not that big of a deal. Give the kid the 10. Hey, if he grows into it, great. If he doesn't,
here's why they're
pissed. Someone else.
The reason they're pissed. It's because we haven't signed a right winger, right?
Yeah.
That's why. It's because the timing is poor. 2 days before the transfer window's closing, and every schmuck with a red Manchester United jersey has their fingers crossed, hoping that we sign a right winger, you know, like crazy names in our head. Yeah. We ain't doing it. We'll be lucky to sign a center back. But, dude, Rashford is the truth, bro, and he's going to be the truth. We have to have patience, but he's got all of the characteristics necessary to be a top, top player, has the hunger, has the physical ability. Dude, and he's a local lad, and he's a youth academy player. It's like, why wouldn't you give him the 10? Let's go, baby.
Yeah, Rashford, big season. Hit him for 20, son.
Let's do it, baby.
All right, we're going to jump into fan questions. And this was partially addressed earlier, but Rodney Cyrus at Rodney_Cyrus on Twitter. Would you be happy for Man United not to tour in the USA next summer?
I would probably say no, because I know Mourinho prefers it. Assuming Mourinho's around based on one of the questions earlier.
UCLA, bro.
Dude, he loves it, dude, because it's nice and conditioned out here. And you know, we're not in Southern California, but down in Southern California, the weather's hot, which is good for getting in shape, right? And the fields are mint, right? When they went to China a couple years ago, it was a fucking nightmare. All the fields were, like, terrible.
God, yeah.
Facilities are terrible. So here's the alternative. If they don't go to the USA, they're going to go to Asia. And, it's like I would prefer them come to the USA because it's just safer. It's like the players are not going to get hurt in these shoddy-ass fields.
It's also where the American Red Devils who went. United to play in front of the local fans in America. I think it's a special thing that, you know, a lot of their sponsorships are American companies, you know, that they endorse them. And I think the game here is growing. Manchester United is one of the most popular clubs in the world. The most money's here. I like that USA tour relationship. When they went to China, it was like awkward following them. The games were on strange times. The field conditions were terrible. So I actually want them to tour in the USA. It's just whether or not I'm going to pay the ICC prices. That's a different question.
And that's probably a no, right? It's like, listen up, ICC, which you're not listening to, I'm sure. But, dude, get cheap tickets. You can have the expensive ones, you know, the good ones. But, like, you should have a huge chunk of cheap tickets. And that's the mistake they're making. That's why.
Yeah, United supporters section. Yeah, you know,
get it loud. Get it red.
Although the game in Michigan against Liverpool was pretty packed. That was probably the best atmosphere of all the games and was probably the worst performance by United, again, by our sort of half of a team in preseason, so don't look into it. But it was a good atmosphere, and so you can't write off the USA for the tour. It's probably easy as well. The jet lag's not that bad. Then you make your way to the East Coast, and then you fly back. It's only 6-7 hours, and the time change isn't too bad.
Well, that's what they do, actually. They do that very smartly. They start out going to the West Coast, coming to California, and then, like, at the end, tail end of the tour, they start working their way east, and then just bounce back from there, and it's not that too bad of jet lag, and shorter flight, like you said.
And we'll never discuss preseason for another
10 months,
so couldn't be happier. It is behind us, guys.
Rest in peace, you preseason from hell.
Hey, this is critically important season. Everyone starts with 0 points. Let's remember that. All the bullshit in the press, all Pep this, Jose that, all the moaning on Twitter. It's like they can go fuck themselves. We are Manchester United. We were showing up to play. Those players wearing the shirt are going to bleed for our club on Friday, and it's going to be a fucking battle against Leicester City, and
Woo!
Jose will get the boys up. He will get the boys up, and I cannot fucking wait. For noon on Friday, I'm going to be fired up, sir.
Let's flex,
I'm wearing red. I'll get my scarves out. I got my coffee mugs. I'm going to be shouting at the TV. My blood pressure is going to be through the roof. It is on like Donkey Kong this Friday, so everyone get out. Get on the Twitter's verse. All positive. hey, we win 3 points. I don't give a fuck what the tactics were. I don't care who we signed. 3 points is 3 points, and that's how we have to take it game by game. This is a long season. Never give up. Never surrender.
Never surrender. Can't follow that up, bro. So
we're the greatest club in the world. Let's get the door. Never ignore. Dude, let's great Manchester United.
Let's get a sign here two in the meantime. But dude, it all starts on Friday, baby. Let's kick some ass.
And always, we'll be kicking a blue.
Kicking a blue.